We now move from Harvard Law School all the way back to kindergarten, where it all begins. Nationwide, 1 in 5 of all kindergartners are Latino. A new study reveals Latino children enter kindergarten with strong social skills that schools and teachers fail to recognize. Joining us now to discuss it is NPR's education correspondent, Claudio Sanchez. Claudio, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I've got to say, the typical scenario this study presents, talented kids who end up in mediocre schools and bad neighborhoods and kind of fall under the social pressures, this is not new. What does this study tell us it is?
It is not new, but this is as good a snapshot, I believe, as you're going to get about some of the real challenges of really beginning introducing, anyway, children into some kind of academic success before it's too late. So one thing we should say here, though, that is not mentioned here in the study, though, is that we cannot make assumptions about how many Latino children in this country have access to good quality kindergarten. I mean, these some programs that are even half day are tough for Latino parents because they work and they don't have daycare. And so that said, this is a pretty big sample, 21,000 kids, mostly in the South and Southwestern United States where they're concentrated. We should also mention that the entire study that we're talking about here was based on teacher interviews. So what we have learned and can glean from the study is that teachers and schools are very poorly prepared to educate Latino children, by and large. Mm-hmm. What are considered risky behaviors or the risks that these kids run in not accomplishing very much early on, what's often called the social competence of these children, are often a problem of perception more than they are of reality.
In other words, the way the teachers look at them when they come into the room in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. It's the deficit model more than it is, you know, what do these kids bring to the table? And what the study clearly shows and what we've known for many, many years is that teachers make all kinds of assumptions about these children, their language ability, their social skills. And sometimes it's like trying to, you know, put a square peg into a round hole. We have an institution called the public schools that are very poorly equipped to take these kids and build on what they bring to the table.
The study's co-editor, Bruce Filler at the University of California, said, and I'm quoting, "Immigrant kids begin school with surprisingly good social skills, eager to engage teachers in classroom tasks, even though many are raised in poor neighborhoods," which I'd say sounds kind of offensive. Why would it be so surprising that an immigrant Latino could raise a perfectly functional child?
Well, I don't think anybody's questioning whether or not these Latino families, certainly parents and these children, are capable of achieving what middle class, upper middle class kids can. But let's be real here. The fact is that these immigrant families are often, or more likely than not, very poor. That's another predictor of how kids do in school. It's not the only predictor. The single biggest predictor of academic success for kids in general, Latinos as well, is the mother's educational attainment. Did the mother, go to high school? Did they get a good education? Mm-hmm. If they didn't, you can often predict that the child is going to struggle as well. And so we're looking at predictors here or at least the fact that so few Latino parents, mothers in particular, have had little or no formal education. Teen pregnancy rates, you know, mothers having kids very early on is also a problem. Economic, certainly survival of these families is key. And so many parents bring very few tools to help with their kids with schoolwork, for example. It's also a fact, and the study points to it, that Latino mothers do not read to their children nearly as often. And so there are these, you know, this readiness, the readiness issues, are these kids ready for school, are very much a problem, a problem for Latino families, because either they're working really, really hard to mm-hmm. just put food on the table, mm-hmm. or these are families that themselves had little or no formal education. And so you kind of, you know, it's very tough to break that cycle.
What kind of differences among Latino children of different heritage did the study find in terms of the readiness?
There were major differences, almost all of them class-based. Cuban and South American parents of Latino children, for example, were more likely to have had more education. The parents themselves were more likely to have more education than, let's say, Puerto Rican or Mexican families. Also keep in mind that the sampling here of these children was 64% Mexican-American. Clearly, they're the dominant group within mm-hmm. the Latino community. So you have families that bring a little bit more to the table, I guess, when we're talking about Cuban and especially second, third generation Americans. And so that's an advantage, and that's a huge distinction. But if we come back to the fact that teachers, by and large, consider these kids all in one group, they don't work hard enough to make these distinctions, to say, okay, here are the differences, class differences or other differences among or between Latino groups, then they all, as far as teachers and schools are concerned, these are all one group, and that's a huge mistake.
Really briefly, Claudio, what kind of policy recommendations can we take from the study?
Well, because we're talking about things that we've known for a long time, I think the bottom line is that teachers and schools need to be far more prepared than they are to deal with this population. And it takes on an urgent, it's an urgent issue, because if you begin to look at the implications of the immigration debate, for example, there is a lingering fear that this is a community, a population that is not ready for to contribute enough anyway to this nation's well-being, to its quality of life. And so there's this lingering fear that, you know, this is a population that's really going to put the United States in the hole economically and otherwise and culturally. And I'm not just talking about the xenophobia. I'm talking about folks who are legitimately concerned about where this population is going. And we're not moving quickly enough to help schools, to essentially call on schools to do a better job.
Okay. Claudio Sanchez is NPR's education correspondent. He was kind enough to join us in studio here in Washington, D.C. Thanks, Claudio.
You're welcome.